Welcome, everybody. My name is Lamaya Larez. You're listening to I Question God, the podcast. Super excited for you to be here today. This podcast is a part two, so it's a sequel of another podcast. Can you be fully Black and fully Christian? In the first episode, you'll hear us discussing what is Blackness and how our Blackness kind of integrated with Christianity when first coming in. This time, you're going to hear Danielle speak about her journey now. I have to warn you, no matter how nice I seem or how smooth my voice may be right now, I do get a little spicy in this episode. So just fair warning. Before we jump into the episode, though, please follow me on Instagram, right, at Lamaya Larez. Also, can you please follow the podcast? The podcast's Instagram is I Question God Podcast. And show my girl Danielle some love. Her Instagram is at Danielle, DANYELL _ Monique. Show her some love because she made this podcast what it was. Her story, her journey, her wisdom really added the substance of this podcast. Without further ado, I would love to welcome you to I Question God. Enjoy. I felt so torn the whole summer. Like, I really didn't know how, Black I should be. And I didn't know how Christian I should be.
I get it.
Like, what does that mean to you? Like, how, like, that whole idea of, man, I actually don't know how Black I should be right now. I don't know how Black I should be to this Christian environment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how Christian I should be to the Black plight that we're experiencing. How, like, do you have any thoughts on that?
This is where it really my identity in Christ really came into play. Like, where I had to really lean upon what does the Bible say, not what I was told about Jesus, not what I was told that I should think or believe by this group of people or that group of people and the opinions of man. It was really tough because I had to really get away from a lot of everything, because it was very hard for me to listen to, well, if you do this, then I don't know how you could be a Christian. If you could either side of the fence, I don't know how you could be a Christian. Because what it came down to, when I would actually talk to people about why they believed what they believed, or why do they think that, it actually always came down to that there are, like, you know, people just have very varying absolutes about certain aspects of God.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some of those absolutes for some people, even though we all serve the same God, couldn't find their way back in the middle somewhere. So being Black and being Christian, I just had so many questions for God. Like, how did we even land here? How, God, did the church even land here? Because out of all things, if we are all reading the same Bible and interpreting the same Bible, shouldn't there be less of this? Shouldn't there not be, you know, the segregation and whatnot that we see on Sunday mornings in certain regions within the United States? Shouldn't we be seeing the same thing? And it wasn't like that. And so I grappled with, how did truth get so perverted to the place that we land here and we're actually so divided when Jesus calls us to be one with him and the Father. And I still grapple with those questions. And it's not to indict the Lord, of course. It's not to do that, but it is questioning if we are following this the same Lord, how are we so divided and not loving one another? And so my heart is really to be as unoffended as I can possibly be.
Wow.
Right now, which isn't, that sounds, might sound good, but it's easier said than done.
Yo, like, what I'm telling you, like, I'm literally in a place where I am grabbing my heart by the, by the flesh.
Yeah.
And keep turning it away from offense.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where, like, I'm sitting in school and there's just little things that bother me. Because to see the heart posture towards certain things, mm-hmm. I'm just like, nah, we can't preach. I think where I really get frustrated with both sides, mm-hmm. is like, we can't preach this about us and then treat them different. You know what I mean? Meaning, like, we can't preach respect the president this whole 4 years, and then there's another president now, and we're not living that. We can't preach equality, love, like, whatever. What, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like sometimes the black church is just like, equality, love. Like, we're going forward. We're moving forward. But then we still hold secret hates in our hearts towards our white brothers and sisters.
Right.
We talk about them like they're actually just demons. Like, to me, I'm just like, hypocrite. Like, I don't know. There's no other word for me, but I don't like it. Like, I don't like it. And I think at the beginning of all of this, one word that has really helped me steward my life, Jesus said, if you put anything above me, this was like in January. He said, if you put anything above me, you will be deceived. And then boom, this summer happened. And I'm so grateful that he taught me that lesson before this summer happened. Because literally I was sitting, like, I have a family prayer line. Like, I'm sitting on the family prayer line just trying to tell them, this is what Jesus said. If you put anything above me, if we put our blackness, our location, our class, our money before our identity and relationship with him, we will be deceived. And I feel like that's a lot of what is happening right now. You know, like, I'm sorry, I'll get super emotional, but it's just like, it's not, I just think, man, like, Jesus is not to be played with. Like, you feel me? Like, I follow one person, he always quotes, like, the proverb, unjust scales, the Lord hates unjust scales. And I just feel like that is what God is wrenching out of the American church. You know, like on both sides. We're not the black church and we're not the white church. We are the church. We're not even the American church.
Exactly. We should just be the church. I don't know. And on the flip side of that, it's like, you know, it's beautiful to get to you, for everybody involved, every person to get to reckon with, like, our own belief systems, our own thoughts, our own, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. I think it's actually a really beautiful time to get to do that. Just so long as we, you know, we all get to start with ourselves first.
Yeah.
But I also think it's been a really good time for the nation to see, like, the beauty of black culture too.
Yeah.
At the same time. So recognizing and really redeeming the fact that, like, at least for me, that I'm beautiful. Like, my skin is beautiful despite of what I might have thought growing up, because of the places that are in. It's just very, it's been very redeeming all at the same time. So
yeah it's beautiful. Like, I think most of the takeaway I think I can take away is, like, being in the trenches with all different types of people.
Yeah.
And having all different types of people being able to comfort each other in all of this. Like, everybody was going through a hard time.
Yeah.
And being able to be in an environment where I'm immersed in different cultures and learning how to value where people come from, their traditions, their backgrounds, their opinions. Like, I think we have a really unique opportunity right now to hear each other out, because all of our opinions are just really strong in us right now.
very strong.
Yeah. So we just really do have a beautiful opportunity to hear each other and to ask hard questions. Actually, we're reading a book right now in school, or we just read a book.
Yeah.
So the book is on, it's called The Roadmap to Reconciliation. Yes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And I loved her point on catalytic events. What did you think about, like, because she talks about how chaos is actually necessary for change.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
When I read that, you know, honestly, where my brain first went, I don't know if this is, like, Christian response. I was like, how many catalytic events can we throw at the messed up systems that are still in place?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's a good thought, but I'm just being real. That was my thought literally when I wrote my book report. I was like, where can we cause catalytic events in the most godly fashion?
Yeah, that's so funny.
But because the chaos that they create is necessary, they are unfortunate, and they are terrible, but they also are the very things that drive our eyes to what is wrong and what is unjust.
Wow.
So when I saw that, I'm like, okay, so where are we at in this? There's the catalytic events, and I don't know if sometimes it's not to say that we haven't made progress ever over the years, over the decades, but a lot, thinking like, okay, but how many catalytic events does it take for us to really, really, really get somewhere? And I actually say that with, like, all humility, with I don't have all the answers. I don't sit here as a person that's like, but I got all the answers right here, because I really don't. I'm
right.
just on the journey with everybody else. But truthfully, like, how many of those will it take? Although I would say that in this time, I see it just feels different than anything that we've ever experienced.
Definitely. And how has your relationship with God been in this time?
I would say throughout this, from I would say about the summer, even up until now, there's been a lot of, we always have our sweetness, of course, but there's also been a lot of wrestling and questioning and if I wasn't careful, I could have been on the side of, because of what I saw, if I hadn't maybe had some of the grounding that I had up until now, I could have easily have been like, what I'm seeing, even talking to my sister, and listening to her own lived experiences, and she had someone tell her, you know, well, you know, we should just all love each other, and the Lord loves us all, which are all true statements, but the way she was being talked to, she's not a Christian, so she just didn't feel like that was the appropriate response for her in her pain. And so I don't even know if I'm answering your question. My relationship with God has been sweet, but sweet because I get to ask really hard questions.
Yeah.
I get to ask really raw questions with really raw feelings and be okay in that, knowing that he's not afraid.
If you don't mind sharing, like, what are some of those questions?
For me, a lot of it stemmed from, God, where in history did we go wrong? Where did things get perverted? How is it that this is the like, God, how did you let this get? I was very like, how did you let this get to this place?
Yeah.
And I think that came from an area of just being completely hurt and wanting God to just come in and say, okay, we are done with this. This is not a problem anymore. But then him really being able to put it back on us as, but you are the church. I've actually given you scripturally things for you to do in this life, in this world, in order for there to be change. Like, you are my agent. Like, you guys have been given the ministry of reconciliation, all in that, him saying, like, empowering all of us to be a part of, you know, he's not going to dictate it, and having to really come back to that, like, yeah. And I don't ever want to be a part of the problem, but I think I'm in a learning phase myself of what do I have to bring into the situation. And I think a lot of us are in that space of, okay, what role do I play? And what specifically do I do now?
Yeah.
I think there's an awareness. Now we have the awareness and people are in that realization phase. Trying to figure out, okay, well, what's my role now?
Wow. What do you think Jesus, God, thinks about his black and brown children right now? What have you found his heart posture to be towards you while you're going through all this?
It's the posture of, like, I see you. I see what's happened. I see what has been perpetuated over and over and over. But I want you to know I'm with you, that my eye and my finger is on this. So you're safe. You are safe and you're totally free to be you in this moment. You're free to heal. You're free to mourn. You're free to grow. You're free. You are free. This thing no longer gets to be the oppressor. There doesn't get to continue to be this oppression, but we're moving towards something. We're moving towards wherever you fall in line in the process of healing and moving forward, that my eye is on you and I'm with you in order for this to be a thing. Like, and I it's so funny to even think about, I think sometimes when, like, if you ask a similar question, when you ask a question like that, people can assume like, well, God loves us all, God, and he absolutely does. But
sure.
To think that he's not placing emphasis on this as an issue for me would be, let me rephrase what I'm saying. It is evident that he is putting his finger on this issue because he wants to change it, and he wants it to be not an issue, like where we are truly connected as one. Disagreements will come, of course, and not saying that we'll all ever agree, but that we would function as a people united in one spirit, because I don't know how we think we're going to affect change, major change in the world, when we're still trying to figure it out ourselves. And yeah. I think it's beautiful that we get to work through it. This is like my hope-filled side of, it's actually a beautiful time.
Yeah.
When I remove myself from the emotion of it for just a moment, I'm like, this is actually really beautiful, like chaotic beauty in a way. Yeah.
Wow. You're so wise. I'm over here with a broken eye. It's leaking. Like, what the heck? Gotta go get that tuned up. Yeah. I mean, I think throughout this time for me, the Lord has been really comforting, encouraging, empowering.
Yeah.
I remember last year somebody asked me, what do you think it will take for white Christians to respect black people? And I was like, I just think like they just need more black leadership. I think the world needs more black leadership. And I think God has been doing such a beautiful job at raising up so many black leaders that I love and trust. Yeah. And I think this intimacy, I feel like intimacy with God is leaking into black people. Like, I feel like we haven't had this intimacy in a very long time with God. And I think, there was just teachings going around in the black community, and I kind of got wind of it in high school, just about like just being anti-Christian and whatever. And that's kind of how I stepped out of the faith. Mm-hmm. So by the time I stepped back into the faith, I was like, yeah, I can never let that happen to me again. But this summer, it was like, God, it was like he was helping my heart engage back into the black pain, like into my hurt. And I don't think I could have did this without him.
Yeah.
And I think all my questions that I have for him, I question God about a lot of things. I don't think I question his heart
right
towards black people.
Right.
And I just love the affection that he has towards us. And he loves all his children, you know? And I think that now is a time where there will be no question on his love for us.
Yeah.
You know? And I appreciate it. I appreciate being loved on by Jesus. I do. Yeah, Danny, like, what advice would you give just a young Christian, young Black Christian right now?
I mean, I would say make it a priority to be so close and engrossed with the Lord and in His Word and in your quiet time, and be drenched with just everything that He says about you before the world gets the chance to.
Wow.
Because identity and being secure in relationship with the Lord is important.
Yeah.
I would also say be free to be you.
Come on.
Be free to be you. But the closeness with God and what His Word says and knowing how to navigate through that is crucial.
Yeah. You heard it. From the wise woman yourself. Yeah, if you're listening, I just want to encourage you to don't run away from the pain, the questions, the anger that you have. I think there is a lot of us out here who are Christian, you may be newly Christian in dealing with all of this, but the Lord doesn't, He doesn't count how many years you've been a Christian. And then decides how close He's gonna get. He gets close from day one. So if you need the comforter, He's there. If you need the teacher, He's there. If you need the father, He's there. He's there for you. If you just need a friend, He is there for you. Yeah. If you stumbled on this podcast and listened to it all the way to right now, and you are not a believer, but something about what we said here today presented a different view of Jesus, and you're ready to know Him personally. Me and, like, I don't know, Danny, you can speak to this, but I didn't get through all of this from knowing Him from somebody else's perspective. It was when I stepped into and known and learned about Jesus personally. I just encourage you just to pray to God, pray to Jesus right now, and just invite Him to be your Lord and Savior. And if you did, go ahead and pray that prayer. I would really love that. Connect with me. But I really would encourage you to go find a church, a body of believers that love the Lord with all their heart, that stand firm on their word, on His word, and that is going to love you through whatever you're going through. And yeah. People, I love you guys.
I love you guys too.
Danny, do you have any last words for us?
Last words? Nah. Just thank you so much for inviting me to just sit here and talk and talk some more. I really hope that your listeners really get the opportunity to just get closer with the Lord, that they really get to hear a side of God through you and the people that you bring onto your podcast. that they might not have ever heard before, and that it lights something up inside of them.
Yeah. Last question.
Yeah.
If Jesus was standing in front of you right now, what question would you ask him?
I'd be like, ham or chicken?
Jesus definitely believes in chicken. 1 episode really changed me. I think Danny offered a level of hope that I wasn't expecting. I think she offered wisdom that only comes from closeness and intimacy with God. As you can see in this episode, I am very matter of fact on things like this. But I don't know. I gained a level of compassion. I did. And this question that I've been harboring, can you be fully Black and fully Christian? It's nuanced, as all things are. But I think it's important to remember that God didn't even let his own Godhood separate us from him. He laid down everything. And he came to bring us back to him. My relationship with God, our relationship with God, will determine what our lives look like in eternity. So although my pigment is important, and he loves it, and he cherishes it, and he chose it, and he comes close in my frustration, he comes close in our pain, I could never let my pain, my frustration, my question with my questions about a fallen world deter me and distract me from the love of God. So can you be fully Black and fully Christian? Of course. But I would never be more Black than I am Christian. And yeah, but I don't know. What do you guys say? Link up with me on Instagram and Twitter. Let's start this conversation. What do you say? Can you be fully Black, fully you, and fully Christian?